This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, it is On The Wire, and on today's show we're going to talk about a very, very fascinating Saturday at Ascot, leading into perhaps the Aidan O'Brien two-year-old good thing of the year at Doncaster on Saturday. Is he going to redeem the season, if you're to believe the sceptics, or those who think Aidan O'Brien should be winning more Group 1s? He's had a lot of kind of duds this year, and a lot of horses maybe derailed, but he's a lot of good winners as well, as has Gavin Cromwell, who is our special guest on the show. And Gavin has a 25-1 Cheltenham poke that just might have Johnny Mack in the Bar One lads running a little bit scared. He's talking a horse up a little bit that we're going to talk about in due course. Cracking card at Leopardstown. Johnny Mack and the Duke going head-to-head in the Knapp Stakes in one of the feature races at Leopardstown. And I'm going for rather the dregs, really, in Sligo to try to end a desperate run of Knapps and a desperate run of everything. I don't know where to start, but I'm going to go to you, actually, Brendan Duke. You're off to Lisbon, by all accounts. I don't know, should I bring this up?
No, it's fine. Yeah, you know, no, because you can you can give me a few tips. I've never been to Lisbon before, but I put it to you, Johnny Ward. It's 23 degrees at the end of October, so my sea swimming days may not be over just yet.
I've swum in the south of France and Mallorca in the last few days. If I sound smug, that's because I am. And the water was absolutely gorgeous, Yuki.
Oh, great, 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 great here. I suppose the Mediterranean's probably a little warmer than the Atlantic, or am I making that up?
No, you're right. But you are going to Lisbon. You're looking for love, and you might find it.
I might do. I'll keep you posted.
Johnny Mack, any movement on the who's going to get married first stakes? Juki's shortening.
Juki certainly is shortening. That sounds promising, Juki. Things are getting serious if you're heading to Lisbon. Well,
it's a little bit off the cuff, but you never. I'm not come back married. I'm feeling very spontaneous at the moment, but the shackles are off. The shackles are off, Johnny. Once.
Yeah.
You don't do things in a conventional manner. Neither does actually the trainer of your nap either. So we get to that later. Yeah. There's nothing conventional about JSB, but he also had actually a horse run extremely well in this Ascot showreel, which we will look at now. Juki, this is Trushan starting off, who obviously was one of the few horses, actually one of the few shorter price horses who did the job on the day. He's developed into a brilliant stayer. Princess Zoe, obviously, Tony Mullins, we had in the show. She just didn't show up.
Well, yes, she literally didn't show up. Very frustrating for Tony, but Trushan would have taken a lot of beating on the day. Such a tough horse. I mean, he had a really hard race in Longchamp himself, and Stradivarius had a set two for about 2.5 furlongs down on soft ground. But he just shows up as fresh as paint here. And you kind of got the sense with him that he was just doing enough when he got to the front, because there was a lot of talk about Stradivarius taking a bump, and that's true. But Trushan took a bump as well, just shrugged it off. He's just a win machine, isn't he?
How was the day for you, Johnny Mack? How was the day for the firm? Because obviously, I'm thinking 4 or 5 fairly short price-ish horses, not all favourites who were beaten. Obviously, 2 horses in the big one behind the overseas winner. Obviously, love disappointing as well. But how was it for the firm?
Yeah, the results were good, Johnny. Getting Mishriff and Ali are turned over. Stud Palace Pier, Baid was a good result. Creative Force was no good in the sprint, and Trushan was definitely a bad result. But all things considered, it was a good day, Johnny. That result in the Champion Stakes was a screamer, getting Mishriff and Adiar beaten.
Yeah, Juki, Creative Force win it here. It's a barren old time for Irish sprinters, it has to be said. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think it was just the track really played to the strengths of the winner. Perhaps the Newmarket July course was a bit sharp from, perhaps Haydock was a bit sharp from, but it all fell right here, and he was most impressive. You could definitely make it. It sounds like he was an obvious winner. He wasn't an obvious winner. It was a really trappy race, and I didn't back him or anything, but he certainly looked to have a really good chance, and he did it well.
Yeah, was there much punting on this, Johnny Mack?
Turnover, there was a good spread, Johnny. It was quite open heat. The result in Jazzed was no good, Creative Force winning. I think the placings were all right. Glenn Shee, last year's winner, he ran a cracker. I thought when Holly Dive committed, she might have had him in trouble just briefly, but William Buick was in her slipstream, and when he angled out and went by, it was race over. The results overall was no good. Placings were okay.
Were you punting on the day, Juki?
I wasn't punting on Ascot. Luckily enough, the horses I fancied were too short, Palace Pier and Mishriff. I actually got a few quid in Leopardstown. I was in Leopardstown and I backed that Glown Thon. Is that how you pronounce it?
Glown Thon.
So I feel like I should make a donation to charity after that winner. Because, and again, this is one of the things when you need to remind me when I'm moaning about my bad luck, that he was a very lucky winner on the day. So I won a few quid in the day. I was happy enough.
Yeah, and that's Glown Thon is actually a key race for Juki in his quest for a winning nap this weekend. And also actually a key that's going to be taking on Johnny Mack in the nap stakes in that race. And obviously Glown Thon admittedly actually looks to be one of the better sort of two-year-olds coming from Ballydoyle. What do we make of this, Juki? This is just snowfall. I don't know. Does she just look like she's over the top here? She doesn't really look like she just doesn't want to know, does she?
Yeah, they're just ducking in behind. I've never seen her do that, but that suggests she perhaps had too much. People were saying she never looked the winner. I thought she travelled grand through the race, and I thought, oh, she'd come and pick these up. But fillies in October, it's a dangerous business. There's no reason to suggest that she's gone doggy or anything. It's just probably one race too many after a tough season. So we'll give her a pass.
What's her legacy then? I do believe she'll be going to St. Mark's Basilica.
Well, I mean, she was the top dog in a pretty poor division. The middle distance 3-year-old fillies this year weren't up to much, and she sort of had the ring of love about her, because again, I got seduced by both of them. She was a big fish in a small pool, and she looked good beating up inferior horses. So she wasn't top class, but she was a smart filly, and she was very much a testament to her trainer skills.
She was indeed. This race I love, to be honest, Johnny Mack. I love the way that Willie Haggis has trained this horse. It was clearly a messy race with some question marks about Frankie's ride on Palace Pier. But for me, Boyd is winning almost despite the way this race, like this race is not really run to suit him. I think he's probably a mile and two horse, really. God knows where he goes next season. Now, you think he's going to win by a length or two here. He ends up only winning a neck. Crowley gets done, obviously, for the excessive use of the whip as well. But I don't know, Johnny Mack, cracking race, I thought.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal horse. He's been handled brilliantly by William Haggis, and that's the way Haggis tends to campaign these good horses. This horse only made his debut back in early June. If you were told on the 7th of June when he won his debut at Leicester, and you were told he'd be winning on Champions Day, you'd have said, whoever said it, if you're Rocker, Groom him up, Novice Company, Group One, and yeah, he's the top miler, and he's going to be the top dog next year. It'll take a very good three-year-old to topple him next year.
You are a fan of the Haggis Juki.
Oh, yeah, he's a savage trainer. I mean, he gets better and better every year. And he won the Derby, was it with Shamit? It was his first ever Derby. He was sort of a middle of the road trainer. Oh, no. Sorry, I forgot to. That's my fault. Sorry, can you hear me?
You can, Juki. We'll actually leave that in the podcast just to show that we live normal lives.
Yeah, no, normally, because I was a bit flustered getting up here, normally I have a sequence where I put the phone on flight mode and then put the Wi-Fi on. So I have a system, but the system has broken down. But anyway, back to this race. What appalling timing that was for my brother-in-law. Anyway, back to this race. Race of the day, it promised to be, and race of the day it was. I'm not sure I agree with you, though. I think Baid is more of a miler than Palace Pier. I think we're getting a bit seduced by Baid's pedigree, which does very much suggest him.
Well, Palace Pier was rallying all the way to the line, in fairness.
Yes, he was. Palace Pier has always looked like a 10-furlong horse. It's a shame we never got to see him over the trip, but I can understand. Again, racing is very conservative. He was beaten everything, so why would they take a chance at a trip they weren't sure about? But Baid looks more of a miler to me. He travelled best in the race. As you say, Palace Pier was coming back, but Baid travelled best, and then he won the race, and maybe he was just in front a fraction too soon for an inexperienced horse, because that is a murderous climb in Ascot. It's not till you look down the straight. I've been lucky enough to beat Ascot and look down. It's a really stiff finish, and I thought he did really well to duke it out for an inexperienced horse, and as Johnny Mack says, very much a horse to look forward to next year.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
So on just on Aidan O'Brien and General Dukey, Alan Sweetman had an interesting article, I suppose, pleading the defence that he's had a decent season. He's defied convention a bit in that he's gone to the States with the likes of Bolshoi Ballet and Santa Barbara, who were expected obviously to be, expected to be more, prominent this side of the Atlantic Ocean this year. He has had St. Mark's Basilica. He's an extremely exciting horse that we're going to see in a moment. What have you made of his year?
And Tenebrism. I mean, she's gone and won the Chiefy Park in her second run. This makes me laugh. He's had seven classic winners. I can't even count up the winners he's had in America. He's had Tenebrism. He has the favour for the Derby, it's probably a 50-50 shot to win a Group 1 at the week. Aidan O'Brien's down years are every other trainer's career season, aren't they?
Yeah, the stats as well, Johnny Mac, were very interesting in that his sons, in particular, Joseph, has just had so many winners this season. And then you've Gerard Lyons added into the mix. Jessica Harrington, Galileo has passed on. And obviously, Godolphin have had a particularly prominent year. So there's this notion of a changing of the guards. Do you buy into it?
I'm not so sure, Johnny. I'm not so sure. Obviously, when I crop this, you don't seem to be as strong as previous years. But it must be a slight blip, and who knows, it could all sway back towards him next year. We're just going to have to wait and see.
The big race at Doncaster Saturday, Dukey. Talk to me through this race, actually. This is this is Luxembourg winning his second. It kind of reminds me of St. Nicholas Abbey, who's obviously somewhat related to him down if you go down the Monjo bloodline. But talk to me through this.
Yes, interesting. You should mention St. Nicholas Abbey because he does have a high head carriage. Now, it's only his second run. I saw him in the parade ring before the race. He was whinnying away like a horse who was perfectly green. He missed the break slightly there early. That the jockey wasn't panicking. He's a big scopy horse. He's
How
more tall than
is Jamie Heffernan here.
Yeah. He's more tall than strong. Now, I suppose that this was a match. So he's watching the only horse he's afraid of, the horse of Joseph, the one in Galway. Is it Swan Bay? I can't remember his name. He disappointed on the day because Manu Accorde, with all due respect to him, he finished fifth in that mile race in Leopardstown on Irish Champions weekend. Yeah. But I mean, the whole field were covered by a bit of length. I'd say it was a desperate race. So He probably wasn't that worried about Manu Accorde. He's tracking the horse he's most worried about here in Joseph's. And he's just lobbing along. You can see the high head carriage in him. But again, Monjo's his granddaddy. I wouldn't massively worry about that. And nothing really happens until he puts the race to bed in about five strides, which should be coming up. I suppose we're a long way from home in the Curra. Many's the time I thought I'd backed a winner at this stage, Johnny. But
it's what happens here. And whilst we're on this, Johnny Mac, you can look up the Derby price here. I don't really think Aidan has anything else for it. He hasn't revealed one yet. It's just how easily he's going here. Now, there is that caveat, as you say, Joseph's horse sort of, did this point. He looks very green here. He's kind of like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Oh, okay, you just want me to.
Yeah.
So then he edges a bit right under pressure. But this is his second start, to be fair.
It absolutely is. I'm probably being harsh on the horse. I'm just looking at a horse who's even money in what looks a right good renewal of the Vertemp Temp Futurity on Saturday. And I'm maybe just looking to pick holes in, but you can see him pricking his ears after the line there. He put the race to bed in a few strides. It's a very hard performance to crib, and I'm probably just trying to play devil's advocate a bit.
Johnny Mac, Derby price.
He is 8-1 joint favourite for the Derby, Johnny. 11-1 for the 2000 Guineas. I've got to agree with everything you said there. It's the way he went through the line as well. GC was very strong inside that last half furlong, wasn't he?
Yeah, and okay, so the 8-1, I was looking at this, and obviously Camelot, his daddy, he went to the Guineas. Now, he might run in the Guineas. He's already been, both his starts were over a mile. You could, if that race is over seven furlongs, he wins. He might run in the Guineas. But to me, it's not really a concern. If he impresses in the feature at Doncaster, I'm always calling it the race post trophy, whatever. If he impresses in the Virgin Futurity, Aidan just doesn't seem to have a Galileo this year. And for me, I mean, I think Point Lonsdale is basically, I think his bubble has burst. Native Trails, major doubts about a mile and a half. What can go wrong, Juki?
Well, he could get beaten by some horses who are more experienced than him and really talented, or he could get beaten. You mentioned the scions of the O'Brien dynasty, because this is Oko. I was in the car as well. I basically just spent the last 2 months going racing, so I haven't missed. But this is Oko. I mean, there were some questions over, did Shamey go too fast on Sun King? I find that hard to believe. I don't think you can get the fraction so badly wrong and finish second. You fall in a hole, right? Yeah. And he had every horse in trouble from a long way out, except for Suzuka, who just traveled, barely came off the bridle. It was over 9 furlongs, granted. It was only a second run. He lacks experience. But he's 10 to 1. And then, I mean, then you bring in Royal Patronage, who has that Caribous form. And then you bring in the Dewhurst form with Bayside Boy. This is a right good race, and he is a short price. And I'm not a huge one for stable form, because in fairness, Aidens weren't exactly bombing when Luxembourg won the Beresford. But if you're talking about a horse at even money, 4 to 5, something like that, his horses aren't running great at the moment, are they?
Maybe so, but I mean, I don't know if there's anything to suggest that a lightly raced 2-year-old is going to just somehow flop on his trip to Doncaster. I mean, there's a lot at stake here. Maybe some of his horses are over the top, but I don't think there's any suggestion that there was anything untoward in the yard this year in terms of their well-being or anything.
Well, no, it's just his recent record. I mean, I can't remember the stats, but his last 60 runners, he's had 4 winners or something. Is that right? I'd have to look it up, but it's really poor. Now, again, it's been going on for a while, and I'm not saying it's going to affect Luxembourg, because they weren't exactly bombing around the time of the Beresford. And I want this horse to win, because like the Ballydoyle or the Coolmore Boys, should I say, I want to save the Monjo Sire line, and the only chance of doing that is Camelot. And if they could get a Guineas winner by Camelot, that'd be a serious result for them. So hopefully he goes and bolts up, but he is a short price.
He's out of a Danehill Dancer mare as well, so it would be an affront to pedigree. But just in general, Johnny Mac, can I ask you this? I've spoken to a few sort of, if not professional punters who effectively bet every day or every other day, and they're finding quite tough at the moment. Now, I don't know, are you finding that as a layer that people's, I don't know, we're in a post-pandemic world, or in a current pandemic world, you know, people haven't been racing. There's a lot more betting maybe on the show at the moment. We've had very competitive price on the show. But I spoke to one really, really regular punter. He said like 3 bets in the last few months. Juki, have you found that with the your aficionados at the racetrack? I've just found a lot of people have found it tough in terms of form and maybe erratic results, a lot of big price winners and so on.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't much heard of it. I'm reminded of a story my friend told me once, and he was clerking, I think it was at the Corson, or it could have been at the Point to Point, and he said, all you ever hear about Johnny Dineen is he's gone stink, stink. And so the lads are loading up the van, I think it was a Volkswagen van or something, after the course, and putting all they're taking down the boards, putting all the gear in the van. And Johnny Dineen drives by in a brand new BMW, like 60 grand's worth and what have you. My mate goes to the guy who told him, oh, Johnny Dineen's gone stink, all right, I can see that, yeah. So I don't know. I think people are inclined to play down their bad luck and not mention how well they're going, but I could be mistaken.
Okay, so we have a couple of Irish cards, obviously, to get through before Saturday, which is Leopardstown, interesting card at Sligo. But let's get to Gavin Cromwell now. And Gavin has a very exciting team in the year ahead. 2 winners at Cheltenham, which seems like a long, long time ago now. It was only, obviously, in March. And he has a dark horse as well for one of the novice races at Cheltenham. Gavin, how are you keeping?
Good, Johnny.
That time of year where obviously the good horses are coming back to train, they're getting ready to run. We've obviously the likes of Down Royal on the way. And you, how would you assess your team for the year ahead?
Obviously haven't got the firepower that some of the bigger stables have, but we've a few nice horses. And I mean, obviously we've Florin Porter and Vanillier, Cheltenham winners last year, and look forward to. Amongst a few more young horses.
How are Florin Porter and Vanillier?
Oh, good. Yeah, they've summered well. Vanillier, he got stronger, and looking forward to him going chasing.
how excited could he be, and like how versatile would he be trip wise for a novice chase campaign?
I wouldn't say he's hugely versatile. But I suppose we'll probably start him off over 2.5 and step him up. Sure, he's going to probably want all of 3 miles. Look at he jumps very well. He won a pint, and he's nice to look forward to.
Schools well,
yeah, he definitely does.
Was there any potential or any temptation with Florian Porter to go down that route at all? Or obviously he's a serious hurdle winner, you want to stay that way?
Yeah, look, he's not a huge, big chasing type, and he's good at what he does, so why change it?
Is that a thing you think with Yates runners? I've heard like a lot of them just, they're not necessarily chasers, they're more hurdling types.
Maybe so. I haven't had a terrible lot of them, but this fella in particular, he's not the biggest, and you know, he hasn't got a huge big frame to him either. So he's very good. He's very good over hurdles, and you know, I think why would you want to change?
One thing that you will be changing, I think, this year or this season is how he runs in terms of what direction he goes.
Yeah, we'll certainly try and keep him left-handed. He's a quirky rider at the best of times, and it makes it all the easier. He's certainly more comfortable going left-handed.
And in terms of the season ahead, you're probably going to use kind of a variety of jockeys, maybe the best available type job.
Yeah, absolutely. We've a few very good lads coming in here, and we'll try and share amongst them.
Okay, so yeah, just before we get to the couple of runners you have over the next few days, this My Mate Mozzie, I asked Johnny Mac for a price. He's 25-1 for the Supreme, and I know you've spoken that he wouldn't necessarily be dependent on 2 miles, that he could step up, but he absolutely destroyed a good horse, a very good horse off the flat in Barbados the last day, and you have to be a little bit excited.
Yeah, he is exciting. He's a very straightforward, simple horse. He travels, he jumps, he stays, he's you know, for a horse for his first run over hurdles, you'd have to be delighted the way he jumped. He was very slick. So, yeah, he is exciting.
Where does he go next, do you think?
He'll probably go to Navan to for auction.
For auction, yeah. And
provided it doesn't go, it's probably unlikely now at this stage to get knee deep, as Navan can do, but. You know,
yeah, he's by Born to See as well, who obviously has gotten some good horses at Cheltenham, thinking of the likes of some of the juveniles he's had, but he's probably a horse that doesn't want a bottomless.
No, definitely not. He's plenty of class about him, and you know, I'd say he could just get bogged down in heavy ground. But you know, he's a nice horse to look forward to for the spring.
Now, obviously, closer to home before we wrap up, Steve, a couple of interesting runners at Sligo there, and you will have runners over the weekend, Anthony, we should be looking out for?
I'll probably run Fame After the Glory in the bumper on Monday. I'm really looking forward to him. What else? Are you going to cut me on the hop there, Johnny?
Where's Fame After the Glory run?
In the bumper in Wexford on Monday.
Mm.
Yeah.
You've so many horses, you can't remember what you're running next.
Well, this 48-hour declaration, you're trying to think of what's running today, tomorrow, and the next day. He's obviously won. The two tomorrow, I suppose, they're not without a chance.
In Sligo.
Yeah, in Sligo, midnight it is. He keeps bumping into one, but he jumped very well for his first run over hurdles the last day, and you know, he'd have to improve to win, but he's in good nick, so hopefully he'll have a chance. And Dawn Wonder, her first run in the handicap, she jumps very well, and hopefully she has a bit of a chance.
Finally, as well, your buddy Gavin, your buddy rather, Gordon Elliott, back among the winners. We're having a debate here as to whether he'll be seen at Cheltenham. It seems to be, could be his first UK meeting back, but I don't know. You've obviously seen what it's done to him and how tough it's been, and it's nice to give somebody a second chance as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, we all make mistakes in life, and everybody deserves a second chance.
Thanks for your time, Gavin.
Thanks, Johnny. Cheers.
Juki, you will attest to the fact that the water is getting colder, the weather is getting colder, and of course this all means... And there is a certain glamour about the dock on Friday nights, and that is where you're going to start with your predictions for the weekend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know you're a huge fan of Dundalk, and a good race there tomorrow, this Mercury Stakes. Traditionally, actually, there's usually a couple of juveniles running it. We haven't got that this year, so which takes away a layer of intrigue, but it's still an interesting race. Urban Beat, of course, last year's winner. And how will they bet the Highway Rat versus Harry's Bar? They made the Rat very slight fab over Harry a couple of weeks ago, but Harry put him in his place. He's 3 from 5 at the track. I thought he'd nearly make it 4 from 6 here. I'm just having a look at the bet, and he's 11-4 favourite. I think that's a fair price. I thought he'd take beaten. And the other one I was half interested in was a horse called... Oh, it's not running. Sorry, there is a horse called Affogato, who made a very promising debut in a deep Curra Maiden for Conor O'Dwyer, and has since gone to Jer Lines, but is not running tomorrow. So keep an eye out for her.
Yeah, and Harry's Bar bidden to, I suppose, I know his trainer, Aidan McGuinness, has targeted Dundalk, Johnny Mack, but had some year, and this horse was well fancied by connections the last day, and I think the Highway Rat might have slightly underperformed, to be honest, but I don't know, it looks like he's a great chance of winning again to me.
Yeah, the Highway Rat just got slightly interfered with, and his momentum was slightly checked. I still think Harry's Bar would have beaten him, but the Highway Rat definitely was checked in his run, that in. One or two others to mention, Johnny, in that card. There's a juvenile Aline McAteers called Chris's Roll. Really good speed over 6 and 5.5 furlongs. Drops back to 5, and they've Gavin Ryan on replacing apprentices who have been on board for its last few runs. I think that could be a big player in nursery. Back to 5. And Kevin Prendergast has got a good strike rate at Dundalk over the last couple of years. Whatever he runs there, you got to take note with. And he runs a maiden called Alaroos, who was a real eye catcher at the Curra on its debut. It's a half sister. It's a half sister to Mad Moon, who was, of course, second in Epsom Derby, won a Desmond Stakes, won a champion juvenile on Champions Weekend as well. I think if she comes on from her debut run, she's going to be hard to beat in the maiden.
I think that's a good call as well. And just to note Sligo as well, my nap actually runs in Sligo. But there's actually a couple of quality horses running there. Two horses by Authorized Art and CL Deniege running in the 110, which is a classy enough race for the track. But obviously the main action is at Leopardstown on Saturday. Will you be there, Juki, or will you be in Lisbon actually?
No. Lisbon, I only booked the flights today. I should really remember. I feel like, would the 29th of October be a Friday, Johnny?
I mean, I'm in Mallorca for a cycle that's been planned for a year, and I thought it was Saturday and it's Sunday, so I'm nobody to ask about anything, to be honest.
I feel like it's Friday week anyway. That's what I should have said. I shouldn't have brought the date into it. I was only adding. Yes, I will be in the lap. I'd be delighted to be there because it's a right good card and two seriously competitive stakes races to look forward to.
Okay, let's start with the Airfield Stakes then. I know we can save your naps to an extent, but this is a fascinating race. Anchorage is one of the better kind of Galileos, maybe 2-2 this year for Aidan O'Brien, with Jim Bulger, as only Jim Bulger does. He's running a maiden a week later after running, obviously, a good race behind Blountawn. And we also have, what was the other horse that took my eye? Obviously, Duke Assessa. I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest, at the Curra the last day. But
could it be Piz Badil? Could it be Grenoble? Could it be Good Heavens, who bolted up last week? This is deep, Johnny. This is like Barry White deep, this race.
Yeah, I actually heard Barry White in the radio today, but Lullaby thrown in as well, who was obviously, she was so well fancied on at the Lep actually on a Champions Weekend. She's been a little bit disappointing. Juki, it just has a lot going for this race.
Absolutely fascinating race. The most fascinating horse, in my opinion, is this Boundless Ocean, who made his debut a week ago. He made his debut a week ago in the Curra. He was well fancied, well touted beforehand that it might be Bulger's best two-year-old. Heavily backed on the board and drifted a bit in the show. These things happen. Travelled best in the race, looked all over the winner, got mugged late. But there was nothing really in it. It was a fine debut, but there was nothing really in it to suggest that he was a stakes horse. But 2 days later, he rocks up in a stakes race. It was a Group 3 in Leopardstown called the Killavullen Stakes. Now, maybe not the strongest renewal of the Killavullen Stakes. I know what you're saying here. The second and third were massive prices. They all finished in a heap. But I do think we should bear in mind that the Blountawn was beaten 7 lengths in the Dewhurst, despite stumbling at the start and clearly not handling the track. So he's no mug. So, and Boundless Ocean, would have won with his head in his chest. If he, I don't know what happened, because every other race, the false rail worked, fanned the horses out, there was plenty of room up the rail. For some reason in that race, maybe green two-year-olds, a couple of them dived to the rail, boundless ocean, stopped in his tracks, still managed to pick up to only be beaten a length, would have won as he liked. He steps up to a mile and one here. Now, he's not short of speed. I mentioned how well he travelled in the Curra, but he is bred. The dam was slow, and she's bred a couple of slow horses, and he's by Teofilo. So you would think on pedigree, there's a very good chance he would, would relish this trip. Now, I know what you're saying. Backing unlucky losers is the road to the poorhouse, because they're always over.
It's not even that. It's just his profile is so, it does everything a trainer seemingly shouldn't do. Not to mind running 2 days afterwards, after a debut, and it didn't put him into a pattern race, but then rocking up in an even better race, or what looks at possibly a better race, 7 days later.
But it worked. It worked. And I will say, this horse is a bit of a specimen now. He reminds me a little bit of Poetic Flair. He's not as chunky as Poetic Flair. He's taller, but he's another deep girth horse. Obviously, Bulger looks at this horse and he just can't get enough work into him. And these are his type of horses, aren't they? He just drives them hard. So he stepped forward massively from his maiden in 2 days. I understand your skepticism. I'm not sure. It was an incredible performance, but I'm inclined to believe it. But I feel like, because of what you're saying, the depth of the race, it's his third run in 9 days. The step up in trip, an unlucky loser. Layers love to take on unlucky losers because most like me love to back them. But I feel like that was a massive performance in Leopardstown. I think he'll come forward again on Saturday. And if he does, he'll win and I'll be backing him.
Yeah, Homeless Songs was disappointing. My tip in the race, New Energy, just typical of my tips at the moment, just ran way too free. Absolutely gave himself no chance of getting home. So I just don't know about the form, and the first four were in a bit of a heap. Johnny Mack, even an alternative take on the race.
I do, yeah. Just to add to what Brendan has said there, Jim Bulger has got a super record in this race. I think he's won it 5 times in the last 7 years, Juki, just to throw that in as well.
I didn't know that, Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah, Caroline Herschel, you know when you just watch a maiden and you say, Jesus, she's good. I watched that Killarney maiden and just the way she went and did it, she looked quite green. She made eye-catching ground down the centre of the track. Her ears were pricked. She looked, as I said, very green and went right away to win by 3.5, 4 lengths. I told you, very eye-catching. She was weak in the betting. She went off 14-1. There wasn't a lot of money for her. But I just thought the manner in which she did it, I think she could be a very good filly. That's Caroline Herschel trained by Jessica Harrington. Nathan Cross was on board her at Killarney? I think it was. Shane Foley rides her on Saturday, though. I think she could be good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic race. She's a lovely pedigree as well. Jessie's obviously had a very good year. Just a very good card at Leopardstown, and it might kind of slightly get lost in the sense of what's going on at Donny, but none of it for on the wire listeners anyway. A couple of other interesting maidens as well. You'd have to say Aidan O'Brien is probably trying to maybe reveal something of a Derby horse for next year. Star of India is a horse of very interesting pedigree as well, running in the 215, taking on Sir Antonio, who another very well bred horse. Galileo kind of Kodiak cross, so a bit of speed morphed into the Galileo there, and was second to the aforementioned New Energy for some out. I still think that's solid form. Juki, what do you like on elsewhere on the card at the Lep?
Okay, so we should give a mention to the Knock Air Stakes, which is a listed race with 18 runners, no less. But I think we shouldn't stray too far from the obvious. And the obvious is Njord, who has put up some serious performances in defeat this year, running to a very high level generally, maybe a little bit below par in Galway and Longchamp, but rocked up and finished 5 lengths behind Bayeed last week in a cracking renewal of the QE2. Faces nothing of that calibre here. Should get a good pace to run at. Bit of dig in the ground over 7 furlongs, I think, are his optimum conditions. And I think he is worth a bet. So that's Njord. Then the 4 o'clock, which is a 7 furlong handicap, significantly up 7 furlong handicap because, sorry, I get this now. This young angel who won on Broker Maiden over an extended 6 furlongs in the Stole has since run over 5 and 6 furlongs in some pretty decent races and run respectively. She gets a step back to set, well, for her first time over 7 furlongs here today. I think she relished the trip, and she also has CTK on board, so we like that. We've already talked about the Knock Air Stakes. So finally, I will leave you with this 540, which is a 20 runner handicap. So another nice easy one. But our man, Gavin Cromwell, trains a filly, our mare, I should say, called Pashmina. Now, Pashmina, again, arrives here in really good form. She's figures of second, seventh, and fourth. All of those races have come in better company that she faces on Saturday. Now, the only snag is the dropping back in trip because she got beaten over 10 furlongs in Sligo. Sligo's a different track to Leopardstown, granted, but she looked like she needed further. I think ideally she wants a mile and a half. And the other slight concern is that I wasn't sure that she'd get a lot of pace to run it here, but we do have 20 runners, and possibly if Prince of Verona goes as hard as he went last week in Leopardstown, that'd be just ideal. So they're the concerns, but what we do have is a mare in form, progressive, and first time Robert Wearty taking £7 off her back. So that's enough encouragement for me to have a wager.
Yeah, Gavin Cromwell, obviously a fan of said Robert Wearty, as you mentioned. Apologies if you've heard a dog in the background there. I'm staying in accommodation. It's actually run by a Chilean woman who's very much an exponent of don't use two words if none will do. I've started calling her the ban on Chile, but I think that reference might be lost. Johnny Mac, some specials. You like that one, Juki?
Yeah, Johnny.
Fantastic. Johnny Mac, can you beat that?
We're going to be price boosting at Dundalk on Friday night, price boosting at Newbury on Saturday, Aintree on Sunday. That's across all platforms, Johnny. Phones, on lineupbar.com, in the shops, and on the app as well. So, yeah, enhancing the show price favourites at those three meetings. And you can see our overnight prices from Cheltenham. They're there for Friday and Saturday, the showcase meeting.
Perfect. And the debate is, will Gordon Elliott rock up at Cheltenham? Will it be his first British meeting to go to since that escapade earlier in the season? And I hope he does, because I think we all deserve forgiveness, Juki. And I also think, as they say at the Crucible, the knowledgeable Shelters crowd will welcome Gordon and say, you know, let's get on with things and hope you've a winner.
Well, I should hope so. Yeah, we just need a few of the Countryside Alliance ultras there, and they'll give Gordon some love. So yeah, it'll all be fine. It's all blown over. It's ridiculous anyway. So it's grand. Hand the Gordo.
Yeah, worrying time for racing and the PR stakes in many respects, but it's a worrying time for my naps, to put it mildly. But I've gone to the well again. The water has pretty much run dry. But let's start with Juki's nap, which of course is the horse that completely defies how you should train any horse, not to mind a 2-year-old.
Well, he's been defying convention now for the guts of 50 years, has the JSB.
And I only need... Actually, but...
Probably. I don't know. I imagine he was probably a contrarian in the womb. Yeah, you make a very fair point. But certainly he's been defying convention on the race courses for the guts of 50 years. And I only need him to defy it once more at 5:10 in Leopardstown on Saturday with the Boundless Ocean. There's no bounds to this horse.
I was just going to put in some kind of pun about Boundless as well. No bounds to Juki's talents, Johnny Mac. But nevertheless, you're actually going against him here.
Yeah, Caroline Herschel. I'd be mad if she won and I hadn't said anything. So yeah, I was really taken by that debut win at Killarney. Just sometimes a maiden takes your eye, and I thought she looked very good. So yeah, I'd stick with her. I'd stay loyal. Go with Caroline Herschel in that.
Forecast to pay something like, yeah, forecast pay something like 40-1, and don't mind a bet like that at all. Look away now if you want to win her, Rossi's Tiara. I presume this horse is named for Roscommon connections, because she runs in the blue and yellow. But she had a lovely run at Gorn the last day. It was only her handicap debut. And you know, the McNiff stable is very close to Sligo. So essentially, I imagine this horse has been laid out for probably running at Sligo. It's a very moderate contest, 6-7-1, something like that. My missus has just texted me to say that she's seen a mouse in the sitting room, so I'm kind of glad. How are you with mice, Yuki, actually? I'm the greatest wuss of all time when it comes to... Fair enough, if there's a rat in the room, like... Okay, I don't think anyone really wants to see a rat in the room. A mouse is about as harmful as, you know, the common fly. For whatever reason, maybe it's from my mother, I'm just I kind of tend to run away from them.
Yeah, but is it because of that scuttling action they have? It would give you hear them before you see them, which would give you a little scare. It's a long time since I've seen a mouse, should I say. But I feel like I would get a bit of a scare. But then once the initial scare wore off, you'd be grand. Sure, they're almost cuddly creatures, aren't they?
They are. It's just, as you say, it's just the fact that they shock you. And I mean, let's be honest, it's kind of like the old parable. If things are bad at home, add in a load of animals to your house and then take the animals away and you won't think the family are too bad. So like mice are probably harmless enough. Johnny Mac, you are asking me something about Roscommon here, are you?
I saw one of your tips was you to run at Roscommon. I'm wondering when's Roscommon on.
Oh, so there's a horse called Rossi's Tara. It's running in Sligo, but to be honest, it doesn't matter where it runs because it won't win the way things are going at the moment.
I feel your pain, brother. It's an awful thing to get on a bad run at Apps. It really is heartbreaking. But I suppose someone said to me, you just have to trust the process, like the Dubs.
I remember a seasoned punter at the Dog saying to Ted Hegarty, What harm is a 26th winner after 25? And I think he's 26th won one, but you have to have a very conservative staking plan to kind of endure a loss like that, a run like that.
That's true.
In any event, lads, enjoy what you. I think it's going to be a brilliant weekend. I'm really looking forward to seeing Luxembourg. Again, you can grab the form of the Curra, but he has so much in hand, and that acceleration, it just looks like if you ask him, and Jamie Heffernan spoke so glowingly about him, I think there's so much there. And if he, I'm just kind of waiting for a proper Aidan O'Brien 2-year-old to emerge, and I think that might be him. Lads, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.